Morning, family. Sat down this morning next to Grayson, and he said, "Are you nervous?" I said, "No, not really, no." He said, "Well, you should be." Okay. Then after class, Jan Cole looks at me and says, "Hey, break a leg." Not thinking that past 2 years I've had two surgeries on my leg. So I wasn't nervous before I came up here, but now I am. I do say that in a meaningful way. Good morning, family. You are my family. For the past 13 years, I've been here. You have loved me, supported me, forgiven me, helped heal me, helped me grow, and you are all so special to Avery. It means so much to her and to me, and I just love that you all consider her one of your own. I really appreciate that. Wednesday night, I gave a talk, gave an invitation talk, and I briefly went over Psalm 16:11. And what it speaks about, path, presence, and pleasures. I talked about what it meant to stay on a path, to stay in His presence, to be focused on God, the things that we have gone through in 2022, and congratulations, we made it. And I talked about Buddy the Elf and how he came in, and he was talking about the world's greatest coffee shop. Congratulations, you did it. So afterwards, we're driving home, and I asked Avery, I said, "Avery, did you hear what I said at church?" She said, "Yes, yeah, Daddy, I listened to everything you said." I said, "Okay, like, what did you hear? What was your favorite part?" She said, "Well, you said you like Buddy the Elf, and I love Buddy the Elf, too." I said, okay. "And what else?" Said, "That's it." So this morning, I hope that you don't just get out that I do like Buddy the Elf. But my goal this morning is that this lesson encourage you to tenaciously stay on God's path of life, to search for and stay in His presence, and to reap the rewards of pleasure forevermore on earth and in eternity. I do work with middle school kids all day long, so I know that their attention span is about 8 to 12 seconds. So I do tend to keep things brief. This will not be a long sermon by any means, but I hope it's very meaningful to you, and you can get what I've said to accomplish. Psalm 16:11. "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So first, I'm going to talk about the path. There are two men, they owned orange groves. One man had an irrigation problem, and it broke, and the water wasn't getting to his orange groves, and it's pretty dry season, and the orange groves began to die, so he invited his neighbor over. The neighbor came over, fixed the irrigation problem, and he said, let me show you something else. So he brought him over to his orange grove. He said, "These trees could go without rain for another 2 weeks," he said. "You see, when they were young, I frequently kept water from them. This hardship caused them to send their roots deeper into the soil in search of moisture. Now mine are the deepest rooted trees in the area. While others are being scorched by the sun, these are finding moisture at the right depth." We've all been lied to. In America, we've been taught to believe the devil's lies that you should have everything that you want. You should be happy. You should have more than you think you should have. You should have it right now. While God tells us at His right hand are eternal pleasures, how do we find these pleasures? By following His path. And it's not just an instant get. It's not just you became a Christian, you were baptized, you're a believer, here you go. Here's everything that there is to know. No, it's continuous. There's a phrase used in Revelation 2:3. It talks about to him who overcomes. If the path was easy, we would never become rooted in God. If we just got everything we wanted, we got all the water that we needed, we're these orange groves, we're getting all the water that we need, we don't dig our roots deeper, like this man was talking about with his orange groves. Revelations 2 through 3, there's seven different times when he talks about to he who overcomes. These are letters to the churches who had it much worse than we have it today. Revelation 2:7. "To he who overcomes, I will give to you eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Verse 2:11, "You will not be hurt by the second death, to he who overcomes." 2:17, I will give you a new name to he who overcomes. To he who overcomes, be clothed with white garments, and I will blot out the name from the book, blot out his name from the book of life in Revelation 3:5. To he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of my city of God. In Revelation 3:21, to he who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame, sat down with my Father at his throne. Seven times, to he who overcomes. Overcomes can also be considered as conquers. And when I hear the word conquer, I think power. I think overcoming something, getting over something, getting through something tough, but you did it with power. And that power comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The path of life is not a sprint, it's an endurance. We go through it, trials, day by day by day by day. I can remember when I was in school, I hated going to school. And now I work in a school every day. I hated going to school. I just did not want to get up. And it was just this over, it was just felt so monotonous getting up, doing the same thing over and over and over again. But that's what we're challenged to do as Christians. We're challenged to get up every single day and fight and to overcome and to get through. I have daily choices, but I got to find out where he wants me to walk. How do I know where he wants me to be or when or to do what he wants me to do? How do I know how to stay on this path? The answer comes from Psalm 119, 103 to 105. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This morning in Bible class, I got to witness something very special to me. Wayne asked some of our men who are, I'll say wiser, I won't say the other word, who are wiser, who have children that left, have already gone and left the home and have grown up. He asked them, what mistake did you make as a father? And as a young father, that's hard to answer. That takes a lot of openness and a lot of courage. And all these men that I've looked up to for years and I've known for years spoke about what mistakes they made. And the number one mistake I heard was, I didn't get my children in the Word enough. I didn't have them see me reading the Bible. We didn't talk about the Bible enough in our homes. And to me, that jumped out at me. I hadn't even planned on including that in my sermon, but that really stood out to me. That their number one mistake with their children, they felt like they didn't get them in the Word soon enough. Now, I'm going to use this as a plug real quick. Young fathers, dads with kids in homes already, we got to get to work. We have got to get to work. I don't do it enough. I don't read enough with Avery. I know that for a fact. I've talked to many of you, and I feel like we're lacking. We're letting the things of the world kind of come into our lives a little bit more, control our time, and we're not spending enough time with our kids. So we got to get to work. And a little birdie told me that Brother Yater coming, we're one of his targets. He's going to come at us, and he's going to get us to work. And I'm excited about that in the same way. But we got to get to work in the Word. We got to get to work reading the Bible. You know, those of us that have grown up in the church, you've heard it your whole life. Oh, read your Bible, go pray. But how often do we really do that? Right here in Psalm 119, it says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We've got some amazing cooks in this congregation. There's amazing ladies that make some great food that leave you wanting, man, I want that again. I want that food again. But how often are we saying that about God's Word? How often are we saying, you know what? I want to get in God's Word. Before anything else today, I'm going to start by reading God's Word. Before I go to bed tonight, I want to read God's Word. I want to get it inside me. I got challenged 2 years ago by my PE teacher at school. He had read through the Bible 3 times. And he asked me, "How many have you ever read through it?" I said, "No." He said, "How long have you been a Christian?" And I told him. And he was like playing a joke on me. And we were like ragging each other. But it really taught me, I've got to get in the Word. And so I started. And so I started reading on a daily Bible plan. And to be honest, I'm not finished. It's taken me a while. But what I've seen is, you know, I'm not just going in and looking at a verse and just saying, oh, that's a good verse. I should probably apply it to my life. I'm seeing all these stories of how God's changing people and how God's working in their life and how he's using Jesus to make people into what he wants them to be. So we got to get in the Word to stay on his path. The Bible is not a checklist of rules. It's not just, here, follow this rule, follow this rule. Oh, when you don't follow this rule, you're going to get punished for it. No, it's not like that at all. It says that we are loved and saved by God, and it is the path of life. It's a guide. Existence does not equal life. I think that sometimes in our lives, we say that we're living. We're living our life just because we're around, we're here. But a life in God is full of vibrance, fullness, security, comfort, healing, spiritual power, intimacy with Him. That's a life. That is the path of life. We treat it sometimes like a cookbook. You know, we go to it for a recipe, or we have a problem, or, you know, we want to find a verse for a friend of ours. And so we just kind of go and we you know, go through it, comb through it, find that verse, and just kind of use that verse. But really, in Psalm 119 and 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. So really what the word of God is a flashlight. It should be turned on 24/7 that we're using to guide our path, because the Bible tells us the path is narrow. Narrow is the way that leads to the kingdom. And we hear that, you know, there's a broader way, but that leads to destruction. So it's narrow. And sometimes we can't see it, so we got to use our flashlight. We got to use the word that God gives us. God's word guides us on the narrow way, keeps us from the broad path of destruction. Our phones and TV will give us a front row seat to what that destruction is. We can turn on our phones, we can turn on TV, and quickly see where you're not choosing God, and you're choosing different paths that leads to destruction. But to he who overcomes, to he who overcomes, to he who overcomes. Maybe you're like me, and you've been fighting for 20 years with different things and different sins, and or maybe it's longer, maybe it's 50 years, maybe it's 60 years. But to he who overcomes, Christ says, Christ did it all to give his power to us one day to overcome it all also. He overcame. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father but through me. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll help you overcome. But you got to come to me. You got to search for me. You got to stay on the path to me. So I ask that you choose to root yourself in God's law, which leads us to being in God's presence. Number two, his presence. More than Jesus wants us to have a long list of things we should be doing or things we feel like we're not doing, he wants us to become the people and to become a kind of person that's like him. So not just checking off things on a list, but being molded into a person that's like him in his presence. So what if God wants to change us into a totally different person? And what if he wants to use joy but also sorrow to do it? Well, we allow him. But that's exactly how he does it. He may say, I want to use this pressure on you to conform you into my image. I will bless you with good things, but I will bless you with more than you can handle. So I may have to cut you a few times. But when he cuts us, it's not with a club. And it's not with a slash. He's like a surgeon that cuts us in the right places at the right times, so that we heal and we conform and we become this person that he wants us to be. The presence of the King, Jesus, in our lives transforms us into different people. According to Paul in Corinthians, we are transformed from one degree of glory to the next. One degree of glory to the next. You think of how a thermometer works, or how a clock works. It moves very little time. So one degree of glory to the next. This is a slow process. It takes time. It takes him working in his time, which is not our time. So while Devis tells us you get everything you want right now, you have everything you want in life, you deserve to be happy, God says, no, lean on me. Follow my path. Be in my presence. And I will show you who I want you to be. Little by little, one degree of glory to the next. It's exactly how diamonds are made. They're made with pressure. Made with pressure. And they form, and when they form, there's something beautiful. And that's exactly who God wants us to be, something beautiful in his presence. Doing this will also allow us to change the people around us. Not because we're the best at Bible trivia, and we know exactly where this Bible verse is in the Bible. Or not because we have the greatest debate skills, and we can debate with you about the Bible, and we know all this. But because people can see Jesus in us. People can see Jesus in our actions, in our hearts, in our lives. in the way we treat our spouses, in the way we treat our kids, in the way we treat our coworkers. They can see Jesus in that. And when they see Jesus in that, they want to be in his presence also. In his presence, it says, is fullness of joy. Now, I think a lot of times we mix up happiness and we mix up joy. Happiness is going to a restaurant and having an awesome meal. Happiness is going to see a movie, having fun with your friends. Happiness is having things in life and having more and more things. I think that makes us happy in a certain way. But joy is a lot different. Joy is a new baby blessed to a family. Like Emily and Justin are going through right now. They're experiencing a lot of joy, and their families are experiencing the same thing. Joy is vacations and memories, and Christmas memories with your family. That's joy. When people are on their deathbed, that's what they're talking about. They remember this about their life. They look back on those fond memories. It's a wedding. It's a 50-year anniversary. It's somebody turning to God and committing their life to God. That's joy. That is joy, and it's enduring, and it lasts. I think a lot of us, we had Christmas just not too long ago. But how many of those toys that our kids got are sitting in the corner now and not being played with as much? Christmas morning, they're brand new. They're shiny. They're great. But now they're kind of being off to the side, and in a few years, they're probably going to be in the yard sale somewhere. We do the same thing with new cars, new houses, and all these things, and they make us happy. But the fullness of joy, that's what's eternal. That's what lasts. The joy of the Lord will be my strength is a song we sing. That's going to be your strength in life. That's what you lean on. That's where you get your strength from. Yeah, you have a bad day, but it's one bad day. Hey, we got heaven to look forward to. We're going to go through some stuff in life, and it's going to bring us down for a little bit, but that joy is what carries us through, and that joy is from the Lord. And he says to us, that fullness of joy is in him, is in his presence. Getting in his presence can mean consistently praying to God, God, I want to know you better. As simple as saying that, God, I want to know you. I want to know what you love. I want to love like you love. I want to be like you. And is there only like a certain amount of time you can say that? Nope. We can go to him every single day, every single second of the day and say that, and he's going to hear us and he's going to answer that prayer. So when you're getting up for work in the morning, you can pray that, God, help me know you today. Help me see you today. When you get in the car, same thing. When you finish one task at work and you're moving to another one, same thing. God, help me get to know you. Be in my presence today. Help me be in your presence today. Be around me. Help me see you today. Help me in my weak spaces. We can do that. We can pray without ceasing, and we know what happens when we do that. And lastly, pleasures. They are in his right hand and ready to be given. He is eager to reward us and bless us. His pleasures are full of joy and will never go flat. They'll never be like those Christmas presents. They'll never stop. The fullness of joy, they're in his right hand. And what that typically means in the Bible, when something is in the right hand, is ready to be given. It's ready to be handed out. He's holding these things. He's holding this fullness of joy. He's holding these pleasures for us in his right hand and saying, come to me. Come to me. Draw near to me. I have something to show you. And that could be things on this earth, and that could be blessings on this earth. But the main blessing we have by committing our lives to Christ is eternal joy and eternal happiness and being in heaven. So all this stuff on this earth that we go through, and all this pain and all this sorrow and all these struggles, one day there'll be no more. And we'll be together with God in heaven, with his angels, with people that have passed on before us, singing praises to him. And being truly in his presence. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because anyone who comes, let me say that again, anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That word earnestly. He doesn't say rewards those who perfectly seek him. Rewards those who follow his checklist and does everything on the checklist. He says, earnestly seek him. So that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. We're going to do it the right way. And we're going to do it every single time the right way. But it means we're going to keep striving. And we're going to keep enduring to he who overcomes. To he who overcomes. To he who overcomes. And you keep at it. Christianity has a therapeutic component to it. He heals parts of us. He delivers us from pain, fears, unfairness, sickness, and he ushers us into joy. And the Christian life can be brutally hard. Anyone that tries to act like our God or Jesus is a genie in a bottle and you just go to them and say, hey, here's what I want, and it's given to you, they're lying to you. The Christian life can be brutally hard. We've seen people pass away here. We've seen people lose children here. We've seen people go through all sorts of struggles here. And yet, we still strive on. Because it can be brutally hard. But getting in the presence of our God, there are pleasures forevermore. I have no idea what's going to come to you in 2023. I don't know what's going to come to me. Like every year, you know, we set goals. We sit down, we set goals, and we set health goals. I set health goals this year. I'm going to be over the hill this year, so, you know, I could injure myself sleeping. I don't know. It could happen. I set financial goals. I've set goals at work. I've set all these goals. And I'm going to work towards those goals. I'm going to do what I can towards those goals. But it's really up to God what happens in my life this year. And it's really up to Him where He wants to show me. And it's going to take me looking to Him to try and accomplish those goals. Or maybe He don't want me to accomplish those goals at all. Maybe He has other goals for me I haven't even seen yet. But to he who overcomes, to he who overcomes, to he who overcomes, there are pleasures in His presence. But if you look at 23 with the lenses that, God, you have made known to me the path of life. The grace and your love of Jesus is the fuel that empowers that. If you look at it with those eyes and with those lenses, that His grace and His love will fuel you and empower you this year, you're going to go far. You're going to endure because you had that behind you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Him giving you that fuel and empowering you is what will get you through these obstacles. Finding His presence every day is the fuel and the fire for that endurance. I've written down this goal this year, and it's not really a goal of mine, but it's a goal I'll be praying for each and every one of you, for Avery, for people I work with, for everybody I see in my life. And that is a goal of vibrant endurance in the presence of God, trusting that pleasures forevermore are in His right hand. And they may be in this life or the next, but all the while, I pray, we're all believing the path has been made visible to those with eyes that can see. That is my prayer. And maybe we'll accomplish it this year, and maybe we'll fall short. But it's up to us to get up and to keep going and to keep fighting and striving. I want to end this morning with a story about a friend of mine. His name is Chris Gunnels. He was my principal when I was a PE teacher at Harvest Elementary. And he was my principal at the time, but now he's grown into more of a mentor and a friend. As I've gotten into administration, I call him a lot, ask him different questions about different things. November 2nd was a normal day for him. He got up, went to work, and he kind of had been experiencing some headaches. He had headaches for a while. On November 3rd, everything changed. He went in to get these headaches checked out, and what they found was a massive brain tumor in his head. They scheduled surgery immediately. 4 days later, they went in, they got a lot of the tumor out. They felt like they had it all and they could probably get the rest of the radiation, but they found out a month later that it was a lot deeper than they thought and it was still growing. So this past week, he had to go to Duke. He had to go to Duke to get specialized surgeons to get in there to go a little bit deeper and to get the brain tumor out. This is what stood out to me. Last Sunday night, we were invited to a prayer service at a church down the street. Mary Kate was there also. And his wife got up, and in tears, she was talking about, she was thanking people for what they had done and for helping out. She was talking about, you know, her prayers, and some prayers have been answered and some hadn't. She was just thanking everybody. But the thing that stood out to me about what she said was, she said, if it means that Chris goes through this, and he goes through pain, and he goes through suffering, and our daughters go through this, and we all go through this, and this church family goes through this, and we all go through this, maybe he doesn't make it, it'll be totally worth it if one person turns their life to Christ because of this experience. One person, because of this, because of seeing the life of Chris, because of seeing these people pray, one person turns their life to Christ, it'll be all worth it. I can't imagine saying that about a spouse or for my kids or my family. You know, if he dies because of this and goes through all this pain, if one person turns their life to Christ, it made it all worth it. And that really stood out to me, that in my mind, she's on the path. She's on the path to life. She's in the presence of God. And she will experience pleasures forevermore because of that. She put aside all that stuff because she believed in to he who overcomes, to he who overcomes, to he who overcomes, to she who overcomes. That there's pleasure. Pleasures forevermore. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been trying for years to overcome something. You've been addicted to something. You've dealt with a stressor that you just kept to yourself. Maybe you've been baptized and you're a believer and you have that connection with God, but you're not using it like you feel like you should. You're not taking the things to him like you feel like you should. Well, you can come forward this morning. You can come to us and come on this front row. And I can tell you, after 13 years of experience, this family loves like no other. This family has seen people come forward, including myself, and it has loved like no other. And we can pray with you and talk to you and get you help and do whatever we can as a church family. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never committed your life to Christ. And you just kind of been on the broad path and you haven't been able to see the path that he's laid before you. And maybe now you do. Well, when you commit yourself to Christ and you're baptized into him, it kind of becomes a little bit more clear. And you start building that relationship more and more. And you're not on the milk of the word, you're on the meat of the word. And you're growing and growing in him. And it's such a joyful experience. We just heard this morning about JR's grandfather, 84 years old, committed his life to Christ right before he's going home to glory. What an experience. The chance is here. The time is always available for you to turn around, for you to commit yourself to Christ and focus your life on him. And in him, to he who overcomes, will be pleasures forevermore. Come now while we stand and sing.